You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's BloggingTheBoys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live about 3 o'clock every day. Sometimes we've got to go a little bit different time. Sometimes we have special guests like we do today. It is Monday, November 19th, 2018, and we are joined once again by the one, the only Papa Ocho himself. What's up, my dude?
Oh, here, just enjoying ourselves after the victory.
It is a it is Monday, and it is the Monday following a Dallas Cowboys win. If it's a Monday, if it's really any day following a Dallas Cowboys win, we call that something, and we celebrate it with a garment of choice. It is Victory Polo Monday. We are wearing our victory polos. If you're watching the show, you can see that certainly. Feels good. Feels good to have two in a row of these bad boys.
Wow, yeah, first time this year, so we have to enjoy it.
You know, Victory Polo Monday is something, you're right, that you've got to kind of savor when you can. This is a rare week where the Dallas Cowboys play on Thursday because they play on Thanksgiving. They will play next Thursday as well. But you get a chance for two victory polos in 1 week, and three in a row would kind of be unprecedented. Although the Dallas Cowboys did win three games in a row kind of this time last year. And that's kind of where I wanted to start. The Cowboys are now 5-5, and we're kind of seeing them put together, I don't want to say sustained levels of success, but similar levels of success that we saw at the tail end of last season when they beat the Redskins on Thursday Night Football after Thanksgiving, when they beat the New York Giants on the road. That was a big win. When they beat the Oakland Raiders, those were three wins that they kind of gutted out and they kept them alive before they lost to the Seahawks on Christmas Eve. But it feels better than that, but it feels like shades of that to a degree.
No, yeah. I mean, I think that it feels a little different because we're trending upward. And our, you know, defense is stout this year. And last year, you know, our defense had a lot of holes in it. And so, you know, we were kind of on the edge of our seats all the time. And I feel much better about our defense overall. And our offense, I think, seems to be getting back on track.
You know, speaking of the offense, by the way, I think it goes without saying, but all of our thoughts and prayers, not only here on Ocho Live and our family and bloggingtheboys.com, and I feel like everybody watching, Dallas Cowboys fans everywhere, to Michael Gallup, who it was reported lost his brother yesterday, you know, found out, obviously, it was a horrible situation, and, you know, with the holidays and everything, I mean, again, just thoughts and prayers to Michael Gallup's family, as terrible of a situation as that is. And, you know, I know that Jason we wrote about this at BTB, talked about his status for Thursday being up in the air. If you're Michael Gallup, dude, right now things are way bigger in your life than football. I don't think anybody's holding him accountable to anything like that. But, you know, getting back to the football, you mentioned the Cowboys are trending upward. Zeke Elliott has kind of been part of that. You look what he did against the Philadelphia Eagles, and you look what he did against the Atlanta Falcons, over 200 total yards, you know, from scrimmage. And it kind of is amazing. You know, there was a tweet that was out a little while ago. We retweeted from the Blog of the Boys account about the most carries in a single game across the NFL this year. And Lamar Jackson was in there, which is what was really crazy from yesterday, the way the Baltimore Ravens used him. But Zeke Elliott was not on this list. And so we haven't really seen the Cowboys feed Zeke like 30 times in a game, yet somehow, some way, they're finding, I guess, more efficient ways to use him, because Zeke has been the answer the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the thing that I've noticed and seen, and to my pleasure, is that they're using him more and more in the passing game.
Sure.
I mean, I thought last year, and even the previous year in his rookie season, that we were underutilizing his ability to catch and run with the football, and I'm glad to see that they're using that as a designed option now, rather than just a check down option sometimes.
And to that point, I know it's only two games. I don't mean to make a mountain out of a molehill in that regard, but Zeke's been targeted 15 times in the passing game over the last two games, so the wins in Philly and Atlanta. That is the most targets he's ever seen in two consecutive games in the passing game. So while he's not getting, you know, handoffs that would top the NFL, like the list I just mentioned, he is getting worked. To your point. And, you know, even if it's not something that's designed, it certainly is. If I was Dak, the checkdown of all checkdowns is Zeke Elliott. And we saw what he did in Atlanta yesterday. And I said it to you in the moment, if you get Zach Martin out in space in front of Zeke Elliott, I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to be that guy that has to stop that.
No, it's a pretty thing to see that with Zach in front of Zeke. And yeah, I remember during the game, you called and said, hey, look, and there's Zach in front of Zeke, and so it was fun. It was fun to watch, and good things happen when that is the case.
So Zeke is now heavily involved, and I think that, again, I'm not saying the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl by any means, but in Super Bowl winning seasons, in seasons of success, you typically have that guy that kind of comes on that nobody expected. And, you know, I wrote something today that sort of related the 2018 Cowboys to the 2014 Cowboys. I'll explain that in a second. But that guy in 2014, that year that was so much fun, a lot of success, etc., was Rolando McClain. He really came on. He was kind of the answer that the Cowboys needed when Sean Lee obviously didn't get to play that entire season, going out the first day of OTAs and whatnot. Rolando McClain was that guy that really just kind of developed, and he had these really special plays. You know, I think the one that everybody remembers was the interception to seal the signature win of that season in Seattle. And I know that Danny Phantom at bloggingtheboys.com has said this many times before, and a lot of people have echoed it, that it would be so great to put Sean Lee's brain in Rolando McClain's body. And it seems like, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but it seems like that's what Leighton Vander Esch is. We were listening to 92.9 The Game in Atlanta on our way out of there, and they were talking about how they were saying, as Falcons fans, we just went against a future superstar in the NFL. They said he was Luke Kuechly good, Thomas Davis good, etc. And so Leighton Vander Esch is that guy who's really sort of been the accent that this season needed, and he became the accent at the perfect time.
Yeah, he did, and he's done a phenomenal job these past two games especially, but, you know, I agree with you, and we heard the other radio station talk about him, and they were in awe of him. They said, you know, this is a rock star that the Cowboys have landed, and he certainly appears to be that way. I mean, he's all over the field. He covers the field very effectively, and I think you mentioned, and they mentioned it also, that where he played high school football, it was 8-on-8 or 8-man teams. Mm-hmm. So you had to cover a wider arena, if you will.
No, Leighton has been incredible. I mean, in kind of in an ironic way, because the Cowboys have made a lot of decisions that a lot of people have disagreed with, yet the one that they were so, you know, I mean, disciplined on, the one that they had to have was Leighton Vander Esch, and that's arguably been the most important. It is just an interesting twist of irony, especially when you sprinkle in the Calvin Ridley factor on Sunday, how he was the one who tipped the pass that Leighton intercepted, etc. So I wrote this, and a lot of people kind of freaked out for a second. I did sort of compare this year's Cowboys team to the 2014 version. In no way are they the same. In no way is the offense the same, etc., blah, blah. I wasn't comparing the teams themselves. I was comparing the situations that they found themselves in. And so, and I referenced this on the on Sunday's episode of Ocho Live. So in 2014, the Cowboys were 8-3 entering Thanksgiving. And they were the talk of the NFL. They had just come off that big Sunday Night Football win when Odell Beckham Jr. caught that football, etc. And the Philadelphia Eagles were also 8-3. And that game was kind of, you know, the right to sort of have the driver's seat for the NFC East the remainder of that season. And the Cowboys, 7 days later, went to Chicago. We were there and beat the Chicago Bears, and then had a week and a half before they went to Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football. And that game in Philly on Sunday Night Football was the swing game. That was the game where it was the winner of that game was really going to have control on who won the division. And the Cowboys won. Dez Bryant had his 3 touchdowns over Nolan Carroll, etc. And a week later, the Dallas Cowboys secured the NFC East at home against the Indianapolis Colts. And so looking at kind of this schedule and this season and how things are shaking out, I don't want to count the Redskins out because we've seen Colt McCoy do some cute things in the NFL, but logically, the Redskins are probably out of this. The Giants, yes, they've won 2 games in a row. That's also cute, but they're probably going to falter down the stretch. And speaking of those two teams, the Philadelphia Eagles find themselves at 4-6. They play the New York Giants this week. They host them. and they host the Washington Redskins next week. So it's conceivable that they win those two games, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's conceivable, and so I where are you going with this?
Okay, so the Eagles would be 6-6 at that point, right? So the Dallas Cowboys currently are 5-5, and I think we all know that anything's possible, blah, blah, but we all think they'll split their next two games against the Washington Redskins
on
Thanksgiving.
They'll be
6-6 when the Eagles are coming to town on December 9th. And just like in 2014, the Cowboys will get that little mini bye coming off of Thursday Night Football. They got it after they beat Chicago, and this year they'll get it probably after they lose to New Orleans before they meet Philadelphia in a game that will seemingly dictate who is going to be in the driver's seat for the division the remainder of the season. And just like 4 years ago in 2014, who did the Cowboys play after that Eagles game? The Indianapolis Colts. And so let's fast forward. Let's say all of this comes to fruition and they're both 6-6 going into that game. The Cowboys were only able to secure the division 4 years ago against the Colts because the Eagles lost the day before on a Saturday to the Redskins. So that opened the door for them to secure the bag, so to speak. This year, the Dallas Cowboys, if they were to win that game, they would be 6-7. The Eagles 7-6, and the Eagles would be 6-7. So you can't mathematically win it out. But the Cowboys would have the tiebreaker over the Eagles, by the way, because they'd have four division wins and two against the Eagles, which would be enough. So the same day that the Cowboys visit the Colts, which is an afternoon game, later that night on Sunday Night Football, the Eagles play the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator for those Redskins that beat the Eagles the day before the Cowboys beat the Colts. And so all of these things are kind of lining up in a weird way. And just like 2014, that Thanksgiving, Mark Sanchez played for an NFC East team against the Cowboys. He is now a member of the Redskins and will play the Dallas Cowboys as a member of an NFC East team. These are all facts.
And things you cannot plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, it obviously, there's a number of dots that you've connected there, and a lot of common denominators between 2018 and 2014. And so I like that. I like all of that, odd stuff coming into the game, which adds a twist to everything. So good.
I do think, as fun as it all is, I really do believe that December 9th game against the Eagles will be for the right to control your destiny. Yeah. Because I do believe that, that Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz and all those Eagles are good enough to beat these two teams in the Redskins and the Giants over the course of these next 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think having seen what we've seen, I agree 100% with that. And although, you know, the Giants are trending with two wins, and the Eagles have two losses, I still think that the better team on when they play is going to be the Eagles, as well as when they play the Washington Redskins, now that the Redskins are going to be going with Colt McCoy.
You know, it's really unfortunate what happened to Alex Smith. Speaking of sort of crazy things, all the common denominators between Joe Theismann's injury, how it happened 33 years to the day, on the same 40-yard line, different venues, obviously. He'd thrown for, I believe, the exact same number of yards in the season up to date that Theismann had. And Theismann was in the building. That's really weird. Like, the one I came up with is fun, but the Theismann one is terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, things you cannot plan, and it's a little eerie the way that happened. But, wow. I mean, I think the guy that's got to be most freaked out is Alex Smith.
Absolutely. So this week, we're obviously rooting for the Cowboys like crazy, but we're rooting for the Giants. I mean, if the Giants can pull off this win, that ruins the fun I just described. But yeah, if the Giants can pull this off and defeat the Eagles, that would really open the door for the Cowboys. And it would give them more room for error, because they already kind of have the room to lose to the Saints, but they cannot lose to the Eagles. And I think it's going to be really interesting. You'll be back on Ocho Live on Thanksgiving to recap that game. But since you won't be here on Tuesday or Wednesday, what kind of performance do you think we're going to get from the Cowboys? Because it's weird when Jason Garrett is in these situations, because he kind of doesn't show up. We keep saying this is the Jason Garrett game. This is the one. This is the time they quit. Whatever. Blah blah. But it's okay, Jason Garrett. You're back home. You've only lost one game at home. You get three home games in a row. In fact, the next time the Dallas Cowboys travel will not be until they go face the Indianapolis Colts on December 16th. So you're home for a while. You've got all the momentum going your way. You just beat the last two NFC champions. You just won on a last-second field goal, which adds a different sort of boost to the fun and confidence, whatever you want to call it. this is kind of the game he loses. You know, this is kind of the letdown, especially against the quarterback that wasn't supposed to be division Thanksgiving in front of the whole world. This is kind of the game he loses. So who do you think comes out on Thursday for the Cowboys? I don't even want to say the team that's come out the last two games, because they've been a little flat to a degree and they've found ways to win. But I guess the question is, what do you think we get on Thursday?
Well, I think that what we've seen from the Cowboys is maybe a lot of the players themselves taking ownership. And again, I'm not taking any credit away from Garrett, but you know, I think he's still doing what he needs to do. But I really think that you've seen some added ownership on the part of our stars. You know, Dak and Zeke, you've seen that. You've seen DeMarcus Lawrence, the leaders on the team, have really stepped up, and you know, that's what I want to see. I want to see that on Thursday still. The thing that we certainly cannot do, and that is on Thursday, is to look past the Redskins and say, you know, everything you just said, you know, all this confidence you built up, all the momentum, and then, you know, Alex Smith went down, you're saying, oh, you know, this is just Colt McCoy. You know, and I've said already several times, Colt is a worthy backup, and so they need to take him very seriously. But, you know, the last thing we can do is look past the Redskins and look towards the Saints and start preparing for that game, because I think the Redskins, you're still going to have to contend with them, still a formidable opponent on Thanksgiving.
I agree. I do think they'll start kind of hottish. You know, I think they'll ride the energy of the day and the holiday and, you know, the Salvation Army. This is a Salvation Army game. Salvation Army run kicks off on Thanksgiving. By the way, shout out to Michael Kist, a good friend on the Periscope feed. Asked if we use the Fine China ever. Only special occasions, which is like when the Eagles lose. Michael does a ton of great work for Bleeding Green Nation, our friend from SB Nation. So not great times for Michael right now. But fantastic podcast that I do listen to as a Cowboys fan. It's so great that I enjoy the Kist and Solak show and everything they got going on over at Bleeding Green Nation. But I do think, I agree with you that, you know, and I think it kind of helps that you think, you know, at least I think, oh, we're probably going to lose the Saints. You know, I think it kind of helps you not look past this game, because you're thinking, we're going to lose that. You know, it's not like a heavy competition that's brewing. You know what I mean? Like that the Eagles game I'm talking about, the week before that, you know, which would be the Saints game, that's the game I'd be, you know, man, that game's important, that game, this and that, whatever. This Saints game, I'm kind of already punting a little bit in my mind, which is what's making this game all the more important. So I wonder how much of that's at play. We talked about, I was on the Falcoholic podcast last week, how the Falcons had coincidentally the Saints on Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night, and how they were maybe looking ahead. They didn't play Deion Jones against the Cowboys. Maybe Deion simply wasn't healthy. But we talked about how if you were Dan Quinn, do you gauge, do you balance? Well, you know, this game against the Cowboys is kind of important, but then I got the Saints, and then you talk about the Falcons and their wild card situation, et cetera. The point being is that I think it's easier to look past the Saints game, because you're probably going to lose that game, because the game behind it is so important. You're kind of accepting that you're going to lose to the Saints, which makes this one, which makes it highlight all the more.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I reemphasize, you cannot look past Redskins. And to your point, it's probably a more important game if you've already conceded that the Saints game is a loss. You know, and the only thing I'll say about the Saints game is, you know, and I doubt this will happen, but, you know, because they're a very well-coached team, but it's very difficult to play at the level they're playing at on consistent week after week after week basis. I mean, they've done it for, you know, 8 weeks now, 9 weeks now. And, you know, there's got to be something where, you know, it just starts to sometimes unravel a little bit until you get back on track, you know. So just kind of a humbling effect, if you will. And you know, maybe we'll get lucky and catch that break on the Thursday after Thanksgiving for us, you know, because we've seen it with many teams, even the best teams, where, you know, they're on a roll, but sometimes they peak too early, or, you know, they just get overconfident. And, you know, although I didn't see that, what I saw yesterday in the game between the Saints and the Eagles, I think that Sean Payton has kind of embraced Bill Belichick's philosophy to never take your foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about that as we were watching the game, and, you know, it was to the point that I think the Eagles players were really getting frustrated, and it has that effect on you. You know, it has an effect that, okay, these guys are trying to bury us, you know. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it's humbling, and, you know, so I think that that Sean Payton has adopted that, and so, you know, that's what has made the Patriots as good as they are, by taking that philosophy.
No, I think what we saw yesterday on Sunday from the New Orleans Saints wasn't just being hot. It was a killer instinct. It was literally just trying.
It's a good term.
It was almost trying to embarrass, trying to humiliate. It was winning by 40 wasn't enough.
Yeah.
We toured the College Football Hall of Fame on Saturday before the Cowboys Falcons game, and there were all sorts of quotes. The quotes escaping me who said it, but it was in reference to the Ohio State Michigan rivalry. They had all these monuments dedicated to different rivalries, and there was a question about why at one point one team went for
Woody Hayes.
It was Woody Hayes. Thank you very much. Why Woody Hayes went for two when he was up so big? This was like 50 years ago on the Buckeyes, and he said, "Because I couldn't go for three." Which was really great, and that was who Sean Payton was. And it wasn't about, oh, it's the Eagles, whatever.
They really don't have a rivalry with the Eagles.
It was about, this is whoever
gets in the way.
And you know, Peter King's Football Morning in America today on Monday, he spent some time with Sean Payton on the weekend leading up to this game, and they were so hell-bent on attacking Sidney Jones and on forcing Carson Wentz to try to win the game. I mean, they went into this with that killer instinct, and it was evident. And that's why, I mean, right now they would be my Super Bowl favorites, although Monday night's game is going to be fantastic, however that shakes out. But before you get out of here, you will be on Ocho Live after the Thanksgiving Day game to recap that. So before I let you go, Bears at Lions. Who wins the first game?
Oh, Bears, no question.
The Bears?
Yeah, the Bears.
Well, Lions just beat the Panthers. I don't know if you were feeling squirrely. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, hey, the Bears have that unfortunate, speaking of 2014, what the Cowboys had that year. They played on Sunday Night Football the week before a Thanksgiving game, and it was very, very, very clear that they were operating on some low rest.
Yeah, no, the Bears are having fun, and, you know, that's another element that's also a winning formula in the NFL. And you know, you can see it with them. They're dominating in many aspects.
Well, Cowboys won. Victory polo Monday. We both think the Cowboys win on Thursday. I think it will be kind of close, though. I think it will be a stressful Thanksgiving. And then afterwards, we'll all go eat some pecan pie and have a whole bunch of fun and whatnot. But we'll see you later this week. We'll see all of you on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central Time. Got a lot coming to you on Tuesday. Tons at blogontheboys.com. We got some stuff coming on our official YouTube channel. Make sure you go subscribe. We've got another episode of the 750 with two-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas, who is in the College Football Hall of Fame. So that was really cool to check out what Tony had going on. I'm sure we'll ask him about that. Tomorrow, Ocho Live, 3 p.m. Central Time. We'll get more into the game against the Washington Redskins. For now, make sure you enjoy Monday Night Football. Make sure you enjoy Tuesday morning. And we will see you mañana, my friends. As always,
go Cowboys.
And peace out.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.